Hello, this is Tom Scott with the Ford County Chronicle for Wednesday, December 11, 2024. We begin our reading on the front page, story from the Ford County Board in large headlines, No Harm Done. Agreement with farm operators still in place as CRP enrollment still on table. Paxton. Leading his first meeting Friday as chairman of the Ford County Board's newly established Farm Committee, rural Loda farmer Greg Niewald broached the idea of canceling an agreement for the Loda Sportsman Club to serve as the nonprofit operator of a county-owned farm awaiting enrollment into the U.S. Department of Agriculture's Conservation Reserve Program. Niewald, sworn in 4 days earlier as a District 2 board member, noted the recently signed agreement's disputed legal validity, plus the likelihood that it will be months before the USDA begins accepting more CRP signups, before asking whether there would be any harm in canceling it to allow a clean slate. After 49 minutes of debate, the proposal went nowhere, though, as a motion by District 1 Board Member Sarah Musman of Gibson City recommend the agreement's termination, died due to a lack of a second. District 2 board member Cindy Erke of Rural Roberts and District 1 board member Tom McQuinn of Rural Paxton both objected to the idea, noting the time and effort already spent to get the agreement in place and the possibility that the Sportsman Club, one of the few area nonprofits with the know-how to manage the ground for CRP and the only bidder for the job when the opportunity arose last summer, might lose interest in working with the county if the board were to back out and start over. I believe there is harm, Quinn said in reply to Niewald's question. Back when we voted to do this, we gave our word to people that we were going to be doing it, and they've spent money. When you break your word to someone, will they want to come back and do it again? Erke asked later rhetorically. Enrolling the farmland, a 126-acre tillable portion of the Hatfield-Bowen Farm in Putnam Township, southeast of Paxton, into CRP, has already been a tiresome, drawn-out process, and the process is not yet finished either, because the paperwork for CRP enrollment cannot be sent to the USDA without the county providing a deed showing clear title for the land, which county officials have been unable to produce. No deed has been found because there is no deed, according to McQuinn, who also serves on the Ford County Public Building Commission, which recently paid to have abstracts done on all three of the farms owned by the county. While no deed could be found, it was determined that Ford County does own them, McQuinn said, noting that the only exception is a small strip of land that the commission owns at the Ford County Nursing Home Farm in Patton Township. Quinn suggested a new deed be drawn up to allow the CRP paperwork to move forward. As for the strip of land owned by the commission, McQuinn said he would strongly suggest that it be sold to the county for $1. We can have a new deed drawn up, and I suggest we get one. But that's up to the county board, McQuinn told the committee. When the deed issue appears on its way to being resolved, questions remain about when the CRP enrollment will open up again and whether another operator agreement with the Sportsman Club is legally valid. Niewald noted that he confirmed with the USDA's Farm Service Agency office in Paxton that CRP signups were not yet being accepted due to a lack of a farm bill. Niewald also questioned whether the operator agreement was valid, noting that it was pursuant to last year's CRP, which didn't happen, and that State's Attorney Andrew Killian believes the board's vote to approve the agreement failed. According to Killian, a supermajority of 9 yes votes was needed for the 12-member board to accept the Sportsman Club bid to become the farm's operator, managing the farm in return for 5% of the $267 per acre expected to be collected through CRP. The board had only 7. The supermajority was required because the agreement is a lease, according to Killian. Erke and the board's former chairman, Debbie Smith of Paxton, later made it known that they disagree with Killian. Upon their request, the minutes of the July meeting in which the Sportsman Club bid was accepted were clarified to reflect that Killian was the one who stated that the motion failed due to the lack of 9 votes and that Smith never made that statement. Kirky also asked the minutes be amended to state that she took issue with Killian's statement because, in her opinion, the document in question does not require 9 votes because it was not a lease, but rather an agreement or a contract that had nothing to do with farming. Lastly, Smith asked that the minutes be amended to reflect the inclusion of the only statement she made right after the 7-3 vote. As far, quote, as far as CRP, we are moving forward, unquote. Kirky maintained her opinion Friday while Killian was absent. It is not a lease, Kirky told the committee. There was no lease language in the document. It was an operator agreement for CPR paperwork only, no lease, so it didn't need 3/4 votes. The only thing that document does is give the Sportsman Club permission to do the paperwork for the USDA CRP contract, if there was one, and there isn't one. Despite the continued disagreement, the FSA office in Paxson confirmed to Newell that it had received operator notice from the Sportsman's Club, which was listed in records as the Hatfield Bowen Farm operator as well. Farms, tillable acres, have not yet been enrolled into CRP, though, with the most recent enrollment deadlines missed due to the deed issue. It has not been farmed in 2 years either, as it had been traditionally prior to the board members proposing CRP enrollment as an alternative use to agricultural production through cash rent lease. The debate has been centered primarily around the amount of money that would be generated through CRP versus a cash rent lease, although Erke and others have raised additional concerns about the constitutionality of using public property for private benefit. While state lawmakers tried to add clarity to the law to specifically state that counties can lease their farms for agricultural production, Erke said she still disagrees. It's a big problem for me that we're leasing public property to a private entity for profit, Erke said. That is against the Constitution, no matter what the legislature says. I would like to be able to have the ability to find a way to make it right and make it for public use. With that goal in mind, Erke said she would support enrolling into CRP all of the county's farmland, not just the tillable portion of the Hatfield Bowen Farm, which currently sits idle, but also the Ford County Nursing Home Farm and the Bowen Grider Farm in Button Township, which are both still farmed through cash rent leases, and allowing the land to be restored to native prairie open to the public for outdoor recreational activities like hunting, bird watching, for example. Erke said CRP not only allows the land to be used by the public, but also provides guaranteed long-term revenue, with the typical contract terms being 10 years or more, and the expected revenue being $267 per acre. The secure financial benefit was one factor in deciding to proceed with the CRP enrollment for the Hatfield Bowen Farmer, he noted. CRP practices can also help naturally restore the ground. 2 of the 3 farms have significant erosion, Erke noted. Benefits for CRP are very good, Erke said. I would hope that the committee, members of this committee, would want to look at it a little more and go out and do some research. Because if you don't put the Hatfield Bowen Farm into CRP, you are going to have to do a lot of work there in the ground itself. There are cuts of erosion that are feet deep, one of them of which, if we don't do something about it, will not be able to cross over from one side to the other. It's getting that bad. So on the front page from the county board, watchdogs allege board broke law with secret vote. Complaint says Open Meetings Act violated when board voted on chairman and vice chairman. Paxton. A complaint filed last week with the Attorney General's office alleges the Ford County Board violated the Open Meetings Act when it elected its new chairman and vice chairman via so-called secret balloting. John Kraft of Paris, Illinois, who runs the Edgar County Watchdog websites with Kirk Allen of Kansas, Illinois, filed a request for review with the Attorney General's Public Access Bureau on Thursday, December 5th, 3 days after the 12-member board voted 8-4 during its biannual organizational meeting to elect Gibson City's Chase McCall as chairman and Paxton's Carson Vaughn as vice chairman. Each of the two elections was done through a ballot vote, as phrased on the meeting's agenda, whereby members wrote their selections on sheets of paper, which they then folded up and handed to the county clerk and recorder, Amy Frederick, who then opened them and read the results. Which board members voted for which nominees was not publicly disclosed or even known, as the sheets did not require the inclusion of the names of anyone but the choice of nominee. In Kraft's December 5th request for review, he noted that the Attorney General's office issued a determination on the legality of such secret balloting in New York, in Illinois, as recently as 2013, when its Public Access Bureau issued a binding opinion against the Edgar County Airport Advisory Board, also in response to a complaint filed by Kraft. In that case, the Public Access Bureau determined that the advisory board's secret vote to elect a candidate for filling a seat on the board violated Section 2E of the Open Meetings Act, which states in part, "Final action shall be preceded by a public recital of the nature of the matter being considered and other information that will inform the public of the business being conducted." In this case, the binding opinion against the advisory board stated, "The advisory board read the names of four candidates out loud, had members circle their choices on a paper ballot, and announced the results of the vote. Based on this vote, the advisory board took final action to recommend to the county board that the person selected be appointed to fill the vacancy on the advisory board. The advisory board members did not reveal their choices to the public, and the advisory board did not make a record of how each member voted. Such secrecy contravenes the General Assembly's intent in enacting the Open Meetings Act and public policy." Kraft's latest request for review asked that the Public Access Bureau determine if the Ford County Board violated the Open Meetings Act and direct the board to hold another organizational meeting to, quote, "properly elect," unquote, a county board chairman and vice chairman by voting in such a way as the public and media know how each county board member voted. The Ford County Board should immediately call another special meeting to redo the votes for board chairman and any other vote conducted by secret ballot, Kraft and Allen wrote in a story about the topic published Tuesday, December 3rd on the Edgar County Watchdog's website. When asked for comment Thursday, Ford County State's Attorney Andrew Killian said in an email, "I am reviewing the Open Meetings Act request for review and the authority cited by Mr. Kraft. Once my review is completed, I will advise the board accordingly." The next day, the agenda for the Ford County's December 10th meeting was released. The agenda included the declaration of votes for chairman and vice chairman toward the start of the meeting. Killian was in attendance when the board made its leadership selections, recommending the board proceed with a ballot vote as listed on the agenda when board member Leslie King of Piper City questioned whether a roll call vote could be done instead. Kraft noted in his December 5th request for review and that secret ballots have been unlawful for more than 90 years in Illinois. In 1933, then Attorney General Otto Kerner wrote in an opinion, "Of what avail is an open door to the public if the proceedings are secret? The eye can see, the ear can hear. Secrecy conceals all. It is no advantage to the citizen to see a member secretly write a name on a ballot unless he is privileged to read what is written thereon. If the vote were taken by whispering in tones so low the attending citizens could not hear, how would he know what is being done? If no record is made of how the individual members vote, of what avail is the statute providing for an open meeting with open doors?" Our last story from the front page is from the Health Department. Exciting times as agency makes move to new office. Health Department now at 1500 West Ottawa Road. Paxton. Ford County Public Health Department's long-anticipated move to a newly renovated office building at 1500 West Ottawa Road on Paxton's west side finally happened this week. Last Friday, Mike Short, a rural Paxton farmer who serves as the Board of Health's president, was eagerly awaiting the morning of Monday, December 9th, when workers for Two Men and a Truck of Champagne were scheduled to begin moving the contents of the health department's longtime office at 235 North Half Street in Paxton's downtown to the new site across town. Staff seemed excited too, Short said. Everybody at the health department's excited about it. I think they really want to get everybody together in the same building. I know staff have been out there to the new office building every once in a while, just checking on the progress. I see it being a big benefit for the health department. The move to the 3,000-square-foot Ottawa Road office buildings allows the health department's operations to be consolidated into one space. The new office building, which most recently contained the Vaughan Family Chiropractic, is about twice as large as either of the two Paxton buildings currently serving the health department, its Taft Street office, and its Senior Services Center in the 600 block of East State Street. To accommodate the move, the health department was scheduled to be closed on both Monday, December 9th and Tuesday, December 10th, and available only by telephone from Wednesday, December 11th through Friday, December 13th, before reopening at the new location for in-person service on Monday, December 16th. Short was hopeful the move would be wrapped up before Tuesday, December 10th, with the exception of the installation of countertops for the nurses and environmental labs, which were expected to be delivered and installed Tuesday, and perhaps some furniture and computer setups, for example. Movers are coming in Monday, December 9th to move all the heavy stuff, while staff is moving all their own personal things and any confidential information, Short said on Friday. It's going to take a while to get furniture back set up and all of the computers and everything connected, but ideally on Tuesday, December 10th, the move and everything should pretty much be done. It should be just a matter of getting everyone settled in and everything in the place that everybody wants it. Later, a public open house is expected to be scheduled, likely for January, to show off the new office to the community. The health department is renting the Ottawa Road building, which is owned by Ford County Properties, LLC, a corporation owned by legendary retired professional monster truck driver and Paxton native Tom Meeks, who paid for the building's extensive renovation over the last several months to accommodate the health department's new office. Meanwhile, the health department's two smaller office buildings will be sold or put to another use. The future of the State Street building will be decided by the Board of Health, which owns it, while the future of the Taft Street building will be decided by its respectful owner, the Ford County Public Building Commission. Short said the State Street building will likely be sold, while the commission was expected to discuss its own plans during a meeting set for Tuesday, December 10th. The next regularly scheduled Board of Health meeting is at 6 p.m., Tuesday, January 21st, at the Gibson Area Hospital Community Education Center on East 8th Street in Gibson City. It is open to the public. And still with the county board, unpaid taxes lead to threat of lease termination. Ford County Board's Farm Committee voted unanimously Friday to recommend the full board approve the termination of the county's existing two-year cash rent lease with Nick Purcell for the farming of both Ford County Nursing Home Farm and the Bowen Grider Farm if Purcell does not pay the past due property taxes he owns for renting the land from the county plus interest and fees by Thursday, December 19th, as required under the lease's terms. The committee also voted 5-0 to recommend that the full board, if Purcell's lease is terminated, approve seeking sealed bids for the cash rent leasing of both farms by other area farmers. Mr. Purcell has, per this agreement, not made the second half of the property tax payment owed to date, and he has not made the first half payment for the 2025 crop year, the committee's chairman, Greg Niewold of Rural Lotus, said during Friday's meeting. So, State's Attorney Andrew Killian sent a letter to him, I think 2 or 3 days ago, explaining how he was out of compliance with his agreement and giving him 14 days to pay the taxes owed. So that would be, I believe, the 19th. It would be terminated at that time if not paid. The board was expected to consider approval of the measure, if still needed, during its monthly meeting on December 10th. Purcell was invited to intend to work out a resolution, Newall said. If Purcell's lease were to be terminated and a new tenant sought, another meeting of the Farm Committee would be held in late December, during which the new lease's terms, including its duration, would be finalized in preparation for the publication of a notice to bidders. Later, bids would be opened by the board and a lease awarded in January. In preparation for the next cash rent lease agreement, whether one is needed before next year's crop season or after, the committee also reviewed some suggested changing to the existing lease language. Newell said he would draft the changes for the committee's consideration at a future meeting. Among the changes were the addition of a requirement for the tenant to carry federal crop insurance, the addition of language stating that listed crop replacement values are based on the University of Illinois Extension's publicly posted rates, and other clarifications. Newall suggested one other notable addition as well. If the 19th comes and goes and Mr. Purcell is in breach of contract and his lease is terminated and we put these farms back out for bid and the bid comes in less than Mr. Purcell was paying, is Mr. Purcell liable for the difference? And Greg Newall's comment would be, yes. Now we'll turn to the obituaries in the Ford County Chronicle for Wednesday, December 11th. Daniel A. Mathes, and that is spelled M-A-T-H-E-S, Paxton. Daniel A. Mathes, 864, formerly of Gibson City, died Monday, December 2nd at Accolade Healthcare in Paxton. Funeral arrangements were incomplete at the time of publication. Don McDowell, Gilman. Don Bloodworth McDowell, 55, Gilman, died Wednesday, December 4th at Riverside Medical Center in Kankakee. A celebration of life service was held at the Knapp Funeral Home in Clifton on Monday, December 9th, officiated by the Reverend Jim Harkins. Burial of remains will be at a later date at the Prairie Grove Cemetery in West Burlington, Iowa. Memorials may be made to St. Jude's Children's Research Hospital. Sharon Mounts, Gibson City. Sharon Mounts, 74, of Gibson City, died Friday, December 6th in Pikes Peak, Colorado. Funeral arrangements were incomplete at the time of publication. Oscar Dick Orr, Dewey. Oscar Dick Orr, 91, of Dewey, died Monday, December 2nd at Goldwater Care in Gibson City. Perry Davis, chaplain at the Christian Village in Lincoln, conducted graveside services Saturday, December 7th at Willowbrook Cemetery in Fisher. Memorials may be made to the Paxton Church of Christ's Roof Fund, the American Diabetes Association, or the Champaign County Humane Society. J. Ricardo Ramirez Rico, Onarga. J. Ricardo Ramirez Rico, 82, of Onarga, died Wednesday, December 4th at his residence. Funeral services were held Saturday, December 7th at the Immaculate Conception Our Lady of Guadalupe Catholic Church in Gilman, with Father Santiago Corona officiating. Burial followed in the Onarga Cemetery. Memorials may be made to the family's wishes. Michael L. Tipsord, Paxton. Michael L. Tipsord, 71, of Paxton, died at 2:45 p.m. Thursday, December 5th at OSF Heart of Mary Medical Center in Urbana. Memorial services held at 11 a.m. Friday, December 13th at the Bear Family Funeral Services in Paxton with the Reverend Colleen Lawrence officiating. A private family burial will be held at Riverside Cemetery in Sabra. Memorials may be made to the Paxton Federated Church, PBL High School Track and Cross Country programs, or the National Kidney Foundation. Carl William Welch. Carl William Welch, 58 years old, of Sibley, formerly of Greenup, Kentucky, passed away peacefully on Monday, November 11th at the Carl Foundation Hospital in Urbana. A celebration of life will take place at a later date. In lieu of flowers, donations can be made to Burr Oaks Cancer Fund, care of Russell Starks in Sibley, Illinois, or to Connie Welch to be used for the Sibley 4th of July fireworks show. And we return to the news for a very positive story. Teen gets national recognition for record-setting deer hunt. Gibson City teen recently featured on cover of the North American Whitetail magazine. Gibson City. It's not every day you get a state record, let alone for deer hunting, but Hunter Brandon has done it all at the age of 14. Now he's gracing the cover of a big magazine. Seeing the deer, just watching it, and we do a lot of spotting and stalking out here, Brandon said. So if we're sitting down waiting somewhere and we see it, we can go and crawl up to it, and that's always really fun to do. Brandon was recently featured on the cover of North American Whitetail magazine. December issue shows Brandon with his award-winning buck, one he'd been keeping tabs on for more than 2 years. Last year, we finally got a picture of him, and we were just shocked at how much he grew, and we just knew we had to get him, Brandon added. Brandon has been hunting since he was 5 years old, and although he's harvested many deer in his nine-year career, this deer's rack was unique. His father, who's an official scorer of bucks, said they'd decide to find out just how special it was. They harvest deer around their home in Paxton, but their love for hunting has brought them as far as Africa. Brandon said he likes the adrenaline of shooting game, but the tracking and preparation is a big part of his enjoyment. So most of the time, we'll sit up on the ground and wait for them, or then go see them and try to go after them, Brandon said. Sometimes we will sit in the stands and just wait for them. Now, this hunter's hobby is landing him in the upper ranks of other young hunters across the country. It's just now starting to sink in that that's a big deal and that there are only a few people on the magazine cover each year that get that opportunity, he said. Brandon holds the youth record for the highest scoring antlers, which is based on the size and shape of any youth in the state. And with the right skills and perfect time for the sport, Brandon has 4 years to set his sights on another youth record. And we'll conclude with a short piece from Piper City. Holiday events set for Saturday in Piper City. Piper City. Piper City will host Santa's Workshop and Holiday Hoopla from 3 to 5 p.m. Saturday, December 14th at the Community Building. The event features crafts, games, snack, a bake sale, and, of course, an appearance by Santa Claus. The lighting of the town tree will follow near the gazebo in Railroad Park. The bake sale helps raise funds for the event. Baked goods can be dropped off at the Community Building between 5 and 6 p.m. Friday, December 13th, or between noon and 3 p.m. December 14th. Free horse and carriage rides are provided by Oley Farms. Music will be by Tim O'Brien. Food is provided by Woody's and Bubba's Barbecue Food Truck and Old Salty's Shaved Ice. Each child will receive a free gift provided by local businesses, including the Hummingbird Coffee House, Lolly's Gas Station, Piper City Public Library, and the Post Office. And that's all the time we have for today's reading of the Ford County Chronicle. This is Tom Scott. I look forward to reading with you again very soon.